Welcome to The Lavender Lifestyle, the podcast on lifestyle design for millennials. I'm Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to become a master artist of life. Every Sunday, you'll get new insight and inspiration on how to create your dream life. After the episode, the conversation continues in our Lavender Lifestyle Facebook group, so I can't wait to see you there. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hi everyone, welcome back to Lavender. Today's video is an episode of Artist of Life, a series where we feature real people who are actively creating their dream life. So we explore how they got to where they are and what they've learned in their journey that you can apply to your life. My name's Eileen, and I'm so excited to introduce the lovely, the talented, and the very fierce Sora Yang.
Hello.
So Sora Yang is a dance teacher, choreographer, and singer from the Bay Area, currently living in LA. And she is like a ball of energy. She's a beam of light. I love her so much. She's super inspiring. So a little backstory, we actually went to USC together and we danced on a hip hop team together. And it's just so amazing to see like how far she's come. So I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, see?
Okay, yep. That's going to be the whole
You
time.
You want to leave so. That?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your story a little bit, because I know you went to school for business, but you've been dancing since high school. And ever since I've met you, you've been like an amazing dancer. So can you talk about like your path, how you decided to take dance more seriously?
My motive was just to have fun. I was like still really serious about basketball. I'd been playing since I was like a little girl and still like super into it playing in high school. And then my friend and I were just like, let's do something like extra that's like fun together. And we just found a local dance studio and we signed up for a beginning hip hop class once a week. So I started dancing once a week and just pretty soon realized that I could kind of dance. It was just like, I was like, oh, okay, like I'm not terrible at this. Mm-hmm. Like there are some... Yeah, anyway, and I really, like, I just fell in love with it instantly. Fast forward, I moved down to LA for school, not for dance, to go to USC. Mm-hmm. And I was really serious about just pursuing this, like, business career and, like, wanted to be, like, marketing, you know, just executive, blah, 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 blah. And then I joined GRV. Still, like, love dancing, but I still saw my career and my education as, like, kind of my priority, mm-hmm. and that's the direction I was still headed.
And you were like working, right?
Yes.
So you had a job, plus you were doing GRV.
Yeah, I had a work study job all throughout college, like 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. It was an office job. I had GRV, which was, we didn't have like a curfew at that time, so regular rehearsals would run till like 3 or 4 a.m. consistently.
Yeah.
And I had 18 units a semester because I wanted to graduate early.
Oh
so
my God.
I was juggling just like, yeah, so still, and I finished school, I graduated. And I went straight into a marketing job. So mm-hmm. just like all throughout this journey, like yes, dance, like I was really passionate and I loved it. And my passion and love for it helped me, like motivated me to train and to grow and get better. But it was never because I wanted to become a traveling choreographer. It was just because I
loved
dancing.
It was for fun.
Yeah, for fun and for like the love of it.
And you
like,
happen to be really good at it. Oh. And a lot of people saw you, right?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. But yeah, so I graduated, went into a full-time marketing job. And within, I think it took like 2 months. Mm-hmm. 2 months, and I was just really not happy. Like super miserable, like I just driving in traffic, like in the rain, like crying. Like the most like dramatic situation, like those days. Mm-hmm. And at work I would just like look at the clock and be like, oh, I can't wait till work is over so I can go take class. And mm-hmm. I would often drive, because I worked down in Torrance. And it would take me like sometimes 2.5 hours to drive to NoHo in rush hour to take the classes I wanted to take.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and so I was just like, yeah, thinking about dance all day, really miserable at work, just like knowing that, having this feeling that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, because mm-hmm. I was just not, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, like one of the responsibilities I had at my job was as like social media, well, one of the aspects was managing the social media accounts. And so I had to post empowering messages like every day. Mm-hmm. And it was just really, you know, like follow your dreams, like do what's in your heart. And I would be
when
sitting
you're
at
this
the
job,
office
you don't like
I like, I'm not doing these things, but, you know, posting them every day. And I finally came across one, and I never say this correctly, but it was along the lines of, if you want to know where your heart is, follow your mind when it wanders.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I thought about it, and I was like, I'm thinking about dance all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like the symbolic start of it. And then from there, this number started popping up everywhere. I don't want to share the exact number, but it's a really weird combination of number.
That's so creepy.
It started popping up everywhere, like receipts, license plates I would be driving behind, the queue if I was like, you know, in line to get food. They'd be like, number, like, blah, blah, blah. Everything, the price of
how
things
that I was paying
for. How many
digits is this number?
It's only two.
Okay.
But it's like, it's just the fact that I saw it everywhere. It to the point where I was like, okay, you know, sometimes when you're looking for things, you just see them more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But to the point where you're like in traffic and you look up and the license plate, like it ends
like,
in
again?
That. Again, the rest, then you go eat and the receipt, it's like, that's your number. And just everything, like the number of likes. I know like this sounds so silly, but like the number of likes on posts and just like everything was this number, like for, I would say, at least a month. And it was freaking me out. And I finally Googled it. I was like, maybe there's like some symbolic meaning behind this. Like, even if it's not really valid or from a credible source, like it'll give me some type of answer. I found one really just like discreet website, and it talked about like this angel number that.
I've heard of these.
Yeah.
Angel number
things. So it was like an angel number, what my number was. Uh-huh. And then the message said that basically like, whatever you want, like however you want to like manifest yourself, it used manifest as the word, like yourself to the world, like whatever you want to become, like it will take care of you.
Oh, that's nice.
So, because I think the biggest thing for me that was holding me back from taking the leap of faith into dance was just pure, like 100% financial, like how would I make this work? I like just graduated from a crazily expensive university. And I'm in debt, and like, how am I paying my rent? You know, like, how am I gonna make all this work? And so that was my fear, and that's kind of what held me back. That, along with not believing that I was good enough to begin with, and then just all these things combined, not being happy at work, this sign that kept coming up, and then finally researching, like, this, the angel was just like, oh, like the cherry on top, like, okay, finally. So I read that, and I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, I need to do this. And I will say, like, simultaneously, a lot of choreographers that I really respect and look up to started, not handing me opportunities, but reaching out to me and bringing me in to, like, video shoots rehearsals and projects and things like that. And so they were showing, like, a belief in me that I didn't have in myself at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so that helped me a lot. Just, okay, these people I respect are, you know, telling me, giving me kind of like a green
they
light,
believe in
encouraging
you.
Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought, okay, like, I think the final, just to kind of like conclude my life story, just the final thing that I kind of realized in making that final jump into quitting my full time and figuring out how to make dance like work was deciding that it wasn't about being good enough. Because I always use that as my excuse. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be, like, this choreographer. I would look at the top choreographers and be like, I'm not at that level. I'll never be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do what they do. You know, making excuses. Like, I started too late. Like, I didn't have, like, all the training.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, yeah, I'm not where those people are. Maybe I'm not good enough right now. But that doesn't mean that if I don't put in the work that I won't become there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I won't get to that level.
Yeah.
That allows me to do those things and to live out those dreams, you know? Mm-hmm. So once I decided, like, yeah, Sora, like, you might suck right now, like, you know, I mean, being overly harsh, but, like, that doesn't mean you need to, that doesn't prevent you from becoming great.
From trying.
Yeah, from trying, and like, yeah, you're gonna have to put in, like, so much work, but that's, I just decided it's not about being good enough, but about wanting it bad enough, like, wanting to be good enough. Badly enough, yeah.
I love it. Okay, yeah. So you decided that you wanted it more than, you know, not even trying.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be like, you know, an international, like, teacher.
Yeah, but nobody starts out that way.
Right.
Like, there's no way.
Comparison, like, when we compare ourselves to successful people, we look at them in the light. Yeah. And when they're in the light, it's because they've succeeded. You know, if they've kind of reached that level of greatness. And I think just deciding, like, I can't use that. Like, I can use that as my motivation, but not as, like, something to discourage me because I'm not close to that.
I mean, there's a saying, like, don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 20.
Exactly.
Because you don't know how many steps they've taken to get there. Right. So it's all about, like, just start where you are.
Totally.
Yeah.
And even the way that people get to, like, similar destinations is so different. Mm-hmm. I think, like, not making excuses because of maybe where you come from or how much money you have or, you know, the mentors you may or may not have. Like, those things, like, should never stand in your way because you can still become successful, you know? Like, you can find a way to become successful.
And yeah.
It'll happen the way that it's meant for you.
You can find a way.
Yes, you can find a way.
Okay, next question I want to ask is, since you've taken that leap of faith, what has been the biggest challenge in becoming, like, an artist or, you know what I mean, pursuing your dreams?
So, I think I got this question a lot in towards the beginning of doing dance full time. And in the beginning, the number one answer was finances. Mm-hmm. So it's just when you decide to leave a very stable paying job for something very unstable, very uncertain, not guaranteed, it's how do you stay afloat? Mm-hmm. Especially when, you know, if you're pursuing art, you're going to have to invest. Like, you just start out by investing in yourself, in your growth, in your in putting yourself out there. And I just didn't have the luxury of, like, having a lot of money to like propel me in that way, you know? So in the beginning, I was juggling so many part-time jobs just to get, like, extra money every week. Like, every week would be different. Like, I think there was one year, I forget which, maybe this was 2013. I think I counted and I listed all the different random jobs I did.
Yeah. So can you give an example of, like, what kind of weird jobs you had?
Yeah, well, so one of them was I was a personal assistant, and it ranged from doing, like, the very typical, like, filing, paperwork, organizing office spaces to going grocery shopping at Trader Joe's for people or taking care of, like, their parents, you know, like, kind of elderly care. And I also was, like, a tutor, an academic tutor, which is not my forte in terms of just not academics not being my forte, but just, like, being patient with people, like sitting next to them. But I tutored a lot. I did really random, I did, like, random acting things through my agency, but I'm, like, the worst actor ever, so don't look those up anywhere online. Like,
everyone's gonna look them up now.
I know, not gonna look up, but they're, like, I'm just telling you, I'm terrible. Uh-huh. So I apologize. But that was, like, what else? Oh, I was a PR assistant. Mm-hmm. I worked for, like, this kind of, like, startup PR agency for a little bit. So that was a lot of writing. Just a lot. Yeah. A lot of different things. I just found ways to make money I just found ways. And that was just stressful because every week, like, you're searching, you're applying, you're going, you're driving all over the place. And just to get, like, an extra $200 a week for whatever expenses, for food, for gas. And so that was, the initial struggle was financially staying afloat and supporting myself, all the while investing in making myself, you know, get to the level that I mentioned that I wanted to, you know,
get to. So, like, you invested in taking class?
Yeah, taking class, and also, like, you know, when you're starting out as a dancer, it's really important that you create work, like, start to build, like, a portfolio, a presence, and that requires, like, a lot of investment, you know, for, like, videos and stuff. But if you're, you know, scraping by to, like, make rent and stuff, like, you're not thinking about paying hundreds of, like, not hundreds, but, like, a couple hundred dollars for videos and stuff. So even that, like, that was difficult. But fast forward to, like, a couple years later, and I'm doing okay. I'm, like, less, you know.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'm just less, like, you know, stressed about every single, like, juice I buy at the store or whatever. Like, I would say moving forward, the greatest challenge is, I think it's, like, aligning who I am and, like, what means a lot to me with, like, what I do. Like, and just making sure that, like, as I move forward, I'm fulfilling, like, 1,000% of, like, my gift and my potential. just because it's so uncertain. And like as a freelance artist, like you have to decide things for yourself and move forward. Like there's no boss telling you like what to do, where to go, what direction to head in, how you should spend your time, how you should express yourself, like what methods or outlets you should be, you know, focusing on. And I think just like, it's just always that like overriding, like existential, like
does this purpose align with me?
What's the point? Mm-hmm. I think that's been a huge question is like with everything I do, and like it's always challenging to find like the most effective way to like use my voice and my gift and whatever opportunities I'm given to like maximize, you know,
That's what I appreciate about you, because you really care about your voice and the energy you put out. And you can tell by like everything you post on social media, it's always positive. And I watched that video. I want to put a clip in it here, like where you told that girl, like, I am strong.
Oh,
remember the girl and you told her to repeat? That was so cute.
Amy, what did you learn today?
I am strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that, I think it's really important, and it shows that you're an artist, which is really cool. I want to ask about that. Like, where does that positivity or that side come from, and how do you stay connected with that when you're going through like a tough time?
Oh gosh.
Because I know it's not easy, you know?
I can't pinpoint it to like one source or one explanation. I just feel like I've always been like a very fiery person.
Mm-hmm. Were you raised like that? Like your parents supported you?
Yeah. My parents have always just been very like, you can do anything you want, like no
That's
limits.
So great.
Yeah, they're the best. They're like super supportive, like never held back any belief in me or anything like that with anything I wanted to do. And I think, that has a lot to do with, growing up, I've been this very like loud, like wanted to be, you know, the leader and like spread.
The president, right?
Yeah.
Of all years, class president.
In high school, yeah. But I don't know where it comes from. I just feel like I've always had this, I've felt this responsibility, like a moral obligation, but deeper than an obligation, like a responsibility to like make the world better. Mm-hmm. Before I had X amount of followers and subscribers, like even when no one knew who I was, I still felt like, how can I make this world better? And I feel like most people that I meet align with this kind of feeling. It's just a matter of like taking action on it, you know? But I've always felt that way, like wanting to make the world better. I think I'm a really maybe sensitive, I'm super sensitive, super emotional. I'm huge as crybaby. And like when other people are in pain or in sadness, like I feel it really deeply, like
mirror, empathy,
empathy / I'll say like mirror neurons, you know, like I can't watch like Grey's Anatomy or someone gets a cut, I'm like,
same.
I just feel like I have a lot of feelings and it comes from being really intense.
It's like compassion.
Yeah.
I
guess you can call it simple. I'm like making it really complicated. Compassion, empathy. Like I just feel really strongly in it.
I think a lot of us can relate to that though.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So what was the question?
Like, where does this come from? But you answered the question.
I don't know.
You answered it perfectly. But also, like, when Sora Yang's having a bad day, what does that look like? Do you snap yourself out of it, or do you just like rage?
I have a lot of bad days, like, to be honest. I mean, I think my bad days stem from not being productive. Mm-hmm. I feel like I get a lot of fulfillment and happiness from creating things and accomplishing things. Mm-hmm. And when I feel like I'm not maximizing that day and like my potential that day, I know this sounds like really extreme, but I feel really like wasteful.
No, I know.
I just hate not being productive. And I just will like get into, just phases of feeling down, like, God, like you're wasting your life, Sora. Like, what are you doing? You know, I'm really bad at like just chilling.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at it, and it's not a good thing.
Not necessarily a weakness, because it's good. It, like, you're productive, but you could learn to, like, not be so hard on yourself, right?
Definitely that. I need to not be hard on myself, for sure, but I am just naturally, and I think the way I get out of it is just, like, I'm a rat. Like, I love just, like, jotting things down. I love planning, and so I just, like, you know, like even when I'm having like a down day, I'll just like develop like a plan, like how do I get out of this? What things do you want to create? Like what steps do you need to take? Blah, 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 blah. And in terms of like staying positive, I use Twitter a lot. Like everyone makes fun of me for it because I'm just like a serial tweeter. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the things I tweet about are things that I realize myself when I'm like in moods that aren't so great, and they're just like reminders to myself or things that I've learned that help me get out of those states, mm-hmm. you know, that are empowering and encouraging and just like kind of grounding. Yeah. And then I always, like, when I'm tweeting it, it's like note to self, but also just like if this helps anyone else, like, get out of whatever state you're in, then that's great, you know? So
you talk yourself out of your
bad a little bit,
moods. Like, just you're like your own motivational
Yeah, it's coach. Perspective, right? Yeah. Like, when you're in a down mood, like, oftentimes, you know, sometimes, like, we can't control those things, but you can control how you choose to look at mm-hmm. things, and yes. I think, like, yeah, I do talk myself.
No, I love that. Yeah, because I journal a lot too. Yeah. And when I feel bad, I'm always like, why this?
Yeah.
And I journal through it. And at the end, it's always like on a positive note.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also helps that dance is so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. So it's like the one thing that I love is, not the one thing I love, the only thing I love. But like, you know.
A thing you
a
love.
A thing I love yeah. that so much and is such a huge part of my life is the thing that always ends up like uplifting me anyway, you know?
Dance.
So it's kind of awesome. Like, even if dance is the source of like stress or sadness or frustration, it's always dance that brings me out of it too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind
like
of
you can't stay mad and dance.
Right.
Like, you just can't.
It gets it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So at this point, you've traveled to so many places around the world to teach dance. I want to ask, what has been the most memorable or impactful moment from all
okay.
this?
One was in Hong Kong. The first time I went to Hong Kong, it was during a time where I was traveling a lot internationally. I had just started traveling a lot internationally, and I felt very directionless or kind of just didn't understand what the point of what I was doing was. Like, I just felt kind of lost in what I was doing. Like, yes, I was traveling. Yes, I, like, you know, on the surface level, it looked like I was, like, being, you know, successful, mm-hmm. but I just didn't feel quite right, fulfilled. Like, I just felt like everything was about social media and everything is like, blah, blah, like famous mm-hmm. this, famous that. And mm-hmm. I just felt really turned off by it. And then I wasn't feeling good. I also wasn't feeling good about just where I was ability wise, just down on myself. It was just a period of time where I was down on myself and like a little bit lost and not fully confident in what I was doing. Then I went to Hong Kong and I taught a class, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, like, students will come say thank you, take pictures, talk to me. And there was this one girl, she was 13 or 15, but like a young teen. And she told me that because of you, like, I wanna be strong and I like know that I can be strong too, because like you're small like me, you know, and like I didn't think like someone like you could be strong. And just, she said it way more to the point, but
right.
it was that message. And for me, it was that moment where I realized like what I do has greater implications like beyond dance, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like when people come to class, like they're learning lessons that will hopefully stay with them, you know, in their lives, like mm-hmm. forever. It's not just about like a step, like mastering a step and like whatever. It's like this girl, you know, in Asia, and like I've traveled to many different countries in Asia, and still very patriarchal, still very like yeah. women are secretaries, women yeah. are the wives, like, and to be able to travel to like a, you know, and see like a young small Asian girl say, you know what, like I've seen you, like you can be so strong, so I want to be strong too. It's just like
that's so, I know, and I would know, cry.
I was go I'm like I like trying not to cry, like talking
oh
about
gosh.
it, but it was during a time where I just felt so lost. And then like
oh yeah,
all I did was teach like a piece, and for that to impact her the way that it did, mm-hmm. it was just like, yo, she's gonna be like a boss one day now.
Know.
You know, like a CEO or whatever she wants to be, a yeah. biologist, a coder,
anything.
Like anything, yeah. a singer, like she's gonna, like the fact that I kind of helped her believe that she can be as strong and as big as she wants to be, like mm-hmm. through a piece, through
yeah.
dance, like a routine, you know, was so.
I love that, that's so empowering.
So that was just like, yeah, F yeah, like mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep going, like this is why I'm, like this is why I was given this weird way that I move, like this is why I'm short, like this
yeah,
is, you know, like
it all comes together,
it all
it's all
comes
used
together.
Up. Yeah.
So that was like super defining and kind of just like, I think about it every time I feel a little lost or mm-hmm. like purposely directionless. I'm like, you know what, like this is reaching people I don't know that it, mm-hmm. I, you know, beyond my own acknowledgement. Like I
yeah.
can't, I don't know who this could be reaching, I guess is what I should say. And because of that, like, I should keep going, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was one.
Yeah, if you get that and you, it's like you see the results and the rewards of your work, like, right. How can you stop doing what you're doing?
Right,
you
know? It's just...
You just gotta keep going, yeah. Keep spreading the love.
Yes.
Yeah. Now let's switch over to, like, let's talk about your dance pieces. I want to know, what is your favorite piece that you've choreographed and why?
Oh. This is a hard question because I feel like every week I make like one that I feel like is the best. You know,
make one a week?
Well, no. I don't make one a week. But I just feel like I'm constantly training outside of just teaching and choreographing to get better overall as a dancer, a choreographer. Mm-hmm. And so every time I create, I feel like it's better than last.
Like, oh, that's great.
Oftentimes. Not every single piece, but oftentimes I just feel like, okay, I've grown in as a mover, so this new piece is better. I would say, like, just in terms of one that means a lot to me is my Like a Boy piece. Mm-hmm. Just because I made it for my teammate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just, that one means a lot more. And I think like it's going to be hard until I make like another piece like dedicated for someone.
I guess you can't compare in that sense though. Yeah, what's better or what's not better.
And then other than that, I just feel like I'm trying to outdo myself all the time. And also like once you, I feel like once I create something, once I choreograph something, I'll love it, and then like 2 months later, I'll be like, that's whack.
Yeah. That's how I feel about videos.
Really?
Every week when I create a video, I'm like, this is the best. Right. Like, this is my best work. And then a couple weeks later, I'm like, okay, I'm over it.
Right.
Like, you just keep moving
forward. I think it's growth. Yeah. It's just like when you grow and you gain new like insight, fresher insight, like more informed and skilled, then you're like, that was whack.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Do you have a favorite quote?
Oh, this is so hard because I love quotes.
Well, pick one.
Oh, gosh. I love quotes so much. It's so hard. Okay. I think one is, I don't even remember who this is by, but it's when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope, I can't even recite this verbatim, but basically it's just like when you get to the end of your life, like you would hope to say that like you used every bit of the talent you were given, like nothing went to waste.
Yes.
And I like it not for necessarily the spiritual, like religious like aspect of it, but for just that this idea that like you are given opportunities, you're given talents, you're given gifts and thoughts and all these like really nice, awesome things. Mm-hmm. And I think it is our responsibility to make the most out of it in like a positive way. So I think that one is top.
I love that.
Yeah,
top. That aligns with what I believe in. Like you should use everything that you have, all your gifts and your life experience, like nothing's wasted. It's all put to use.
And I just like want to add, because I think I can complain about being at a disadvantage to like other successful people who had all these hookups and like money and blah, blah, blah. But I still have so much that I can work with. And because of that, like I have responsibility to
exactly.
Make the world
and
better.
You have the responsibility to do it in your own way.
Right.
Because it's every voice is unique and every voice is necessary.
Yes.
Or it adds to the, you know, it brings something to the table.
Yes. I just read something about that. Uh-huh. I was like, it's another quote about how like, dimming someone's light doesn't make you better, it just makes the world darker.
Yeah,
so it's
I love that.
Like, yeah, everyone, there's like, everyone should contribute.
Everyone should support each other and bring each other up.
Yes.
Because it's not a race.
No,
right?
it's so different.
Bringing everyone up.
Everyone's so different and needs to like...
I think that took a few years for me to learn though. Like when I was in college, I would like compare myself to other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course,
and
yeah.
You're like competitive, but the older you get, the more you realize like, you're in your own path. No need to compare.
Even harder with girls.
Yeah, it
is. Because there are less girls at the top. And so it gives females this idea that like there's only X amount of spots for girls to thrive in whatever industry. And so as a result, you need to compete with like the next best. But and I've fallen into that trap like in the beginning, you know? And just like wanting to be like the best and the only. And then I just realized like, man, when you're the only girl, and like for me, like when I'm traveling with like 10 dudes and I'm the only girl. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish there were more girls with
me. Yeah, I noticed that. You're once always with guys and, like, where are the girls at?
Yeah, and once I realized, I was like, dude, like, women are the best. And I want to travel with more girls. So, like, once I realized that, I was like, I can't try to be the best. Like, I mean, I can try to be the best, like, of myself. Yes. But, like, I need to bring other girls up, you know? And that's, like, what we should be doing for each other. Like, not what happens oftentimes, which is, you know, tearing each other down because you want to get up. But, you know, if you're a female in a leadership position, like, it should be your responsibility to, like, bring others up, not be the only girl up there, you know?
Yes, totally. Yeah. I love it. So last question, do you have any advice for aspiring dancers or artists, people who want to be like you?
Oh, God, I don't want to be like, first of all, you don't want to be like me. I'm a weirdo. I think I'll start with really narrow with dancers and choreographers. I think you have to find who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, figure that out, like, really hard. Like, figure that out
really
hard.
How would you do that?
I think it's just, I mean, I've had so many different periods of, like, patches of, like, life crises and soul searching, and I think everyone has a different way of, like, discovering who they are, but I don't know, just doing things that make you happy and, like, engaging yourself in areas that you're passionate about, no matter how trivial or small or random they seem. Like, if it's fishing, go fishing. I don't know, that sounds so silly, but just, like, to invest yourself in areas that you that resonate with you, I guess, is how I would word it. And having really awesome talks with friends, like, that's always really, like, eye-opening. And just, I think it's the reason why I say this, you have to know who you are, is because if you don't know who you are, like, or at least what you like, or have a general idea of that, it's really hard to be your own artist. Because I think, like, art is such a reflection of, like, the soul and, like, the spirit and, like, mentality or whatever. So I think, like, that's why you see a lot of younger dancers, like, and choreographers, they come out with pieces that just look like other existing choreographers. Yeah. And it's because they haven't fully developed, like, their own way of moving and their own interpretation of music and, like, things like that. And I think that comes from, for dance specifically, like, you just need to train a lot with a lot of, like, the people, either the people you really like the styles that you really like, or with everyone to figure out what you like and how you like to move, and then just commit to that no matter how weird it is or how unpopular it is, because that's how you're gonna figure out who you are. And then if you know who you are as a mover and you really are in tune with that, then you're gonna be able to create things that reflect that and reflect you. Because I think that's the biggest thing that's, like, lacking, is a lot of, like, individual, like, unique original voices that are, like, new.
It's not easy. And it comes with time.
That's exactly what I was gonna say next. It takes so much time. I think there's, like, always, like, people want things to be so expedited.
Did you have, like, a clicking point where you're like, oh, this is me? Like, was it when you started or a few years in?
I've always hit hard. Like, it's always just been, like, it's never been, like, an effort thing. It's always just been, like, I just have interpretive dance like that. Yeah. Like, and that's just the way that when I feel empowered is, like, when I dance like that. And I think when I was first transitioning into professional, like, pursuing dance, a lot of teachers, like, would mention, like, oh, don't hit so hard. Like, or if you're a girl, like, you're a woman, like, you need to dance like a woman. Whatever that means, you know?
Yeah.
Which basically means, like, move your hips and, like, do body rolls, you know? Like, so, I mean, it does mean more than that. But for me, I was just, like, so confused. I was like, but I like dancing like this. Like, this is me. And for the longest time, I was really confused, like, people are telling me that, like, what I'm doing is wrong, but it feels like it's me.
It feels right.
Yeah. And then one day, I think I was just like, F it. I don't know. Like, I was like, I just had, like, an epiphany, and I was like, this is me. Like, I don't care. Like, you can't, first of all, you can't even confine, like, gender roles and norms are so, like, prehistoric now, like, 1990, whatever. Right. But it's like, I get there are differences, you know, and that there are beautiful feminine qualities and beautiful masculine qualities, whatever. Like, yes, I agree, all of those exist. And then I just realized, I'm going to be me. I'm going to dance like me. I'm going to strengthen me. But I'm also going to learn all these other things.
Yeah.
So that, like, when people are like, oh, dance like a woman, like, when people are like, dance like a woman, I'll be like, okay, fine. here. Mm. I'll move my hips. But then, like, but then I'm gonna always go back to like what I love and like what's true to me. So I think once I realize, like, hey, like, I understand all the vocabulary and the terms and the variations that, and I respect all of it, but you have to just do what feels
you.
Do you? Yeah, because
So, like, expand your vocabulary, go out and learn everything, but at the end of the day, you still have to
I think appreciate, it's like, my way is not the best way, and I know that, but it's my way. You know, it's like the way that I, like to move, and once I just realize, like, it's okay to learn, you know, exactly, learn everything else and have an appreciation for everything else, an understanding of everything else, and it actually helps you, because since you kind of like surveyed the field, it's like, all right, well, I've tried this, but this is like, this is what feels best for me, you know, and then just sticking with that. So.
And I think that can apply to not just dance, but like everything. All other places of life. Yeah, everything. Yeah. All right, that's all for today.
Yay!
Thank you so much. Honestly,
thank
I love you,
you
so much. You're so sweet and you're so empowering. I can't wait to see the amazing things you do in life.
You too.
I'll be following along.
You're like the most skilled person I know.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Like, sometimes I'm just like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this, but you know how to do it.
Oh my gosh.
I feel so.
But yeah, I just, I admire you. Everyone out there, make sure you check out Sora Yang. I have all her links in the description. Yeah, just amazing, amazing person. Okay.
Yay!
Thank you. This was Artist of Life by Lavender. See you next time.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like the podcast, please show your support by leaving a review on iTunes. It helps me so much and also helps other people find the show. You can also catch me on YouTube and Instagram at Lavender, where I have even more content for the artist of life. All right, love you all. Bye.